complex techniques of sorcery. He added that what they never realized was that their intricate devices, as bizarre as they were, had no other value than being the means to break the fixation of their assemblage points and make them move. I asked him to explain what he had said.
"I've mentioned to you that sorcery is something like entering a dead-end street," he replied. "What I meant was that sorcery practices have no intrinsic value. Their worth is indirect, for their real function is to make the assemblage point shift by making the first attention release its control on that point. The new seers realized the true role those sorcery practices played and decided to go directly into the process of making their assemblage points shift, avoiding all the other nonsense of rituals and incantations. Yet rituals and incantations are indeed necessary at one time in every warrior's life. I personally have initiated you in all kinds of sorcery procedures, but only for purposes of luring your first attention away from the power of self-absorption, which keeps your assemblage point rigidly fixed."
He added that the obsessive entanglement of the first attention in self-absorption, or reason, is a powerful binding force, and that ritual behavior, because it is repetitive, forces the first attention to free some energy from watching the inventory, as a consequence of which the assemblage point loses its rigidity. "What happens to the persons whose assemblage points lose rigidity?" I asked.
"If they're not warriors, they think they're losing their minds," he said, smiling. "Just as you thought you were going crazy at one time. If they're warriors, you know they've gone crazy, but they patiently wait. You see, to be healthy and sane means that the assemblage point is immovable. When it shifts, it literally means that one is deranged."
He said that two options are opened to warriors whose assemblage points have shifted. One is to acknowledge being ill and to behave in deranged ways, reacting emotionally to the strange worlds that their shifts force them to witness. The other is to remain impassive, untouched, knowing that the assemblage point always returns to its original position. "What if the assemblage point doesn't return to its original position?" I asked.
"Then those people are lost," he said. "They are either incurably crazy because their assemblage points could never assemble the world as we know it, or they are peerless seers who have begun their movement toward the unknown."
"What determines whether it is one or the other?"
"Energy. Impeccability. Impeccable warriors don't lose their marbles. They remain untouched. I've said to you many times that impeccable warriors may see horrifying worlds, and yet the next moment they are telling a joke, laughing with their friends or with strangers."
I said to him then what I had told him many times before, that what made me think I was ill was a series of disruptive sensorial experiences that I had had as after effects of ingesting hallucinogenic plants. I went through states of total space and time discordance, very annoying lapses of mental concentration, actual visions or hallucinations of places and people I would be staring at as if they really existed. I couldn't help thinking that I was losing my mind.
"By all ordinary measures, you were indeed losing your mind," he said. "But in the seer's view, if you had lost it, you wouldn't have lost much. The mind, for a seer, is nothing but the self-reflection of the inventory of man. If you lose that self-reflection but don't lose your underpinnings, you actually live an infinitely stronger life than if you had kept it."
He remarked that my flaw was my emotional reaction, which prevented me from realizing that the oddity of my sensorial experiences was determined by the depth to which my assemblage point had moved into man's band of emanations. I told him that I couldn't understand what he was explaining because the configuration that he had called man's band of emanations was something incomprehensible to me. I had pictured it to be like a ribbon placed on the surface of a ball. He said that calling it a band was misleading, and that he was going to use an analogy to illustrate what he meant. He explained that the luminous shape of man is like a ball of Jack cheese with a thick disc of darker cheese injected into it. He looked at me and chuckled. He knew that I didn't like cheese. He made a diagram on a small blackboard. He drew an egg-like shape and divided it in four longitudinal sections, saying that he would immediately erase the division lines because he had drawn them only to give me an idea where the band was located in the cocoon of man. He then drew a thick band at the line between the first and second sections and erased the division lines. He explained that the band was like a disc of cheddar cheese that had been inserted into the ball of Jack cheese. Now, if that ball of Jack cheese were transparent, he went on, you would have the perfect replica of man's cocoon. The cheddar cheese goes all the way inside the ball of Jack cheese. It's a disc that goes from the surface on one side to the surface on the other side. The assemblage point of man is located high up, 3/4 of the way toward the top of the egg on the surface of the cocoon. When a Nagual presses on that point of intense luminosity, the point moves into the disc of the cheddar cheese. Heightened awareness comes about when the intense glow of the assemblage point lights up dormant emanations way inside the disc of cheddar cheese. To see the glow of the assemblage point moving inside that disc gives the feeling that it is shifting toward the left on the surface of the cocoon. He repeated his analogy 3 or 4 times, but I didn't understand it, and he had to explain it further. He said that the transparency of the luminous egg creates the impression of a movement toward the left, when in fact every movement of the assemblage point is in depth, into the center of the luminous egg, along the thickness of man's band. I remarked that what he was saying made it sound as if seers would be using their eyes when they see the assemblage point move. Man is not the unknowable, he said. Man's luminosity can be seen almost as if one.